Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. If you have your cell phones, if you could put them in the silent mode, amen. And so, did you bring your Bibles? Yes. Amen. I hope you brought your Bibles. If not, we got the scriptures on the screen. Amen. Amen. And so, I've entitled this morning's message, What a Mighty God We Serve. Amen. What a Mighty God We Serve. Amen. You know, there's an old song that goes, What a Mighty God We Serve. Okay, that was before your time. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore. Yeah, you know that song. But most of us don't, huh, in here. But listen, this message was birthed having breakfast with my wife. Amen. I was saying, Lord, usually the Lord starts dealing with me on Tuesday, and then he starts working on me, you know, and giving me a little here, a little there. And I was struggling. I go, man, God, you haven't given me anything yet. And so we were having breakfast, and then my wife turns to me and says, did you know that you've been called to be a prophet to the nations? Right. Huh? And then she got my attention. And then she said, and she showed me in the book of Jeremiah, that before we were formed in our mother's womb, God had already sanctified us, set us apart. And then, boom, the floodgates happen. Then I just started, yeah, Lord, okay, Lord. Someone want to turn that one off, please? Before I freeze up here. I catch it now. And that one, too. And that one, too. Yes. Just wait for the light to turn off. Amen. Oh, here. Let me do it, brother. Yeah, because that one just came back on again.
Yeah, I think I'm not patient with it.
Oh, that one too. Ooh. They all turn off? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I apologize that the audio had an issue, but it doesn't anymore. Praise God. And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 34. And we're going to do our best to read verses 5 through 9, and then we're going to have the Holy Spirit have his way. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. And here we go. And it reads, Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Verse 7, keeping mercy for what? Thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Praise God. He worshiped. And verse 9, then he said, If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people. Say that with me. We are a stiff-necked people. Okay, there's no stiff-necks in here, right? And pardon our iniquity and our sin and take us as your inheritance. You see, God has had tremendous, tremendous grace on our life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And a healthy relationship with the Lord requires knowledge and intimacy in many levels. Can I get an amen? And because we are humans, we're complicated beings wrapped up in the common bond of flesh. We live in this fleshly body. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yet, with intrinsic and diverse backgrounds. Look at, there's many diverse backgrounds in here. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Love it.
I love it when we have different ethnicities in here. Can I get amen? It lets us know that we're preaching to the nations.
That's right.
And if you break the word nation down, it's ethnicity. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so that's how God has done a mighty work in our lives. Praise God. And so many of us have different characters, personalities, emotions, many different habits. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But what God is looking for, he's looking to have an intimacy, an intimate relationship with him. And the more intimate and a relationship that operates in pure integrity upon the Lord, he will open up doors, hallelujah,
yes,
that you thought were shut. Can I get amen?
Amen.
How many of you want favor from God?
Amen.
Okay, guess what? Listen, it starts first with integrity, honesty, purity. Be true with God. See, he sees all things. We all know that. There's nothing that gets past God. But what he's looking for you and I to have that intimacy with him. You know why? Because then he'll show us those deep things in our heart. He'll see things that your spouse, your children, your friends, they don't see. But he sees those deep things that are in the heart. And guess what? What I love about God, he shows us those things to give us options in our life. We could either give them to him or hold on to them. We could either hide from them or say, God, here they are. Thank you. Thank you for showing those things to me. And so we're going to look at five attributes of the Lord. And one of the attributes I truly believe was part of my life. You guys all know my testimony. Amen. But one of the things, he was merciful to me. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So let's go here for a moment. There's five attributes. Number one, God revealed himself as merciful. Number two, God revealed himself as gracious. Number three, God revealed himself as patient. Aren't you so glad he's patient with us? God revealed himself as good. And God revealed himself as true. And so when we understand who he is, now we know how to enter into a relationship with him, because this is his MO. Can I get amen? This is how he operates. He don't operate in dishonesty. The Bible says he's not a man that could lie.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we have to understand who he is. So let's break this down. Number one, God revealed himself as what?
Merciful.
Merciful. And the Lord revealed that early on. Notice that when we read the book of Genesis, we read the account of how God created Adam and Eve. And as you go down, then came Moses. We all know about Noah. We all know about Lot. We all know about those characters. But I believe Christianity began with Moses, because that's when the law came. And thank God for the law. Even though the law could not save us, matter of fact, the law was a curse to us. Can I get amen? But what the law did, it pointed out our shortcomings. It pointed out that we could not save ourselves, that we needed a God to save us. Can I get amen? And so thank God for Moses. And so God, in the very beginning, Genesis, all the way through Revelation, we see that God is merciful to mankind. He could have destroyed us when Adam and Eve sinned. He could have said, I'm done. I'm going to create something new. But the Bible says before the foundation of the world, he already slew his son to die for you and I. That the blood of Jesus would be shed for us. Wait, and that's way before creation. My goodness, my goodness. So let's look at that merciful. Let's look at it. The Hebrew word for mercy is rashum. Simply means compassionate. Divine mercy, saints of God, is powerful and active. How many believe that? No human has existed at any time or any place, saints of God, on this planet without God's mercy. Because we live in a fallen world. We're still in a fallen body. Can I get amen? Until the change comes, we're going to always wrestle between the spirit and the flesh. And all flesh is sinful. Can I get amen? There's nothing good about us. Because the word of God says clearly, for all have sinned and come what? Short of the glory of God. So mercy is defining, it's a defining characteristic of God and his personality. For mankind, saints of God, it means that it does not matter what kind of mood God might be in. Because you know what? God is not like us. He's not moody. Did you know that? You know, us, we can say praise the Lord in the morning and then hate somebody in the evening. Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. That's why James had to expose our tongue. Blessings come out of this tongue and so does cursing. It's an unruly member of our body is that tongue. And some of us have some long tongues. You could, I'm not going to go there. Let's move on. Praise God. Praise God. You see, he promises to be merciful to you and I. Can I get amen? And all of mankind should be deeply grateful for his mercy. For without it, none of us could obtain a place in the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that? We would be ousted. We would have the door closed. Uh-uh. You're not coming in. You big sinner. No. What I love that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, he wrote this in Ephesians. Look at this. But God, say that with me. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trespasses. Come on, go back to your BC years. You know how you used to roll. Can I get amen? You know you the people you used to hang out with. The things that you used to do. We were so rebellious to our parents, our teachers. Oh, come on. Not all of us was raised in a rose garden. Can I get an amen? But even through all that, he still had great mercy toward us. And look at this. Even verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been what? Saved. Can I get an amen? Saved. Look at this. And raised us up together. We're all raised up together in here. Can I get amen? And now we're seated in heavenly places. Whoo, the worship this morning. We were in heavenly places. Can I get amen? God took us to that place. So here's a glimpse. We had a glimpse of what it's going to be like in heaven. Because we're going to worship him 24/7. Can I get amen? You know, some of us in here look at our clocks. When is this going to be over? Not in heaven. There's not going to be any clocks on the wall. Can I get amen? That in the ages to come, he might show what? The exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ. Has God been good to you? Amen. Come on, has he been good to you? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's go to our second attribute right here. Look at this. God revealed himself as what? Gracious. Gracious. Praise God. He declared it to Moses. You know, I love how he first declared it and exposed it to Moses. Why? Because it trickled down thousands of years later to reach us. See, Jesus said, and the Word of God says, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God does not change. The Bible says he changes not. We change every day. But God remains faithful. He remains good, gracious, and merciful. Look at this. The Hebrew root word for gracious is shanan, which simply means to bend or to stoop in kindness to an inferior. You know, when we close, I always give the benediction, right? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, all that. Did you know in the Hebraic root, when this was being proclaimed, I need you to picture this. This is God bending down on a knee and picking you and I up, and he's telling us how much he loves us. How much he's so grateful that we're his children and that he would love us and take care of us forever. This is the King of Kings who created us even when we sinned and we rebelled and we were unbelievers at one time. He stoops down to pick us up when we come into his presence and he tells you how much he loves you.
Hallelujah.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. That's what that means when he says he lifts up his countenance upon us. Wow. So the next time you pick up your grandchildren, that child right there, and when you pick up and see how adorable this child is, that's how God picks us up. My goodness. Shanan evokes a picture of one elevated in stature and prominence, bending or stooping to tie the shoelaces of a servant. He's tying our shoelaces. Oh, come on. God does things that you and I have no clue what he's doing, and it's all good. It's all for the good. There's no evil in him. There's no darkness in him. He adores us. When you find out how much he loves you, guess what? Did you know you'll learn to sin less? You know why? Because you don't want to break his heart. It's a relationship. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about the Ten Commandments, because none of us can keep none of them. Can I get an amen? So he wants us to enter into a love relationship with him, because when you start loving him, guess what? Everything starts to die. All the things that sometimes bind us up, we find out how good he is, how loving, kindness he bestows upon his children. Certainly mankind did not deserve such costly grace. And guess what? We could never repay it. Can I get an amen?
Absolutely.
Mankind's lost condition was helpless and hopeless until Jesus came for us. Can I get an amen? It was hopeless. Come on, you know my testimony. Having crystal meth in my sock at the age of 30. Oh, come on. You know, one of the reasons why I'm not ashamed to share that is because I'm grateful for what he did. I am forever grateful. People say, how did you get saved? You know, were you invited to Sunday school? What? No. Oh, no. I was a rebel without a cause. Oh, that's right. Even Paul said it best. Paul said it, he's a chief sinner. Well, you know what? If there was a higher chief, that was me. You see, Jesus is surrendering to the will of his heavenly Father and laying down his life freely was the ultimate expression of God's graciousness. toward you and I. You see, Jesus, he secured our salvation to become what Peter wrote down. Look at what Peter wrote down in 1 Peter. Look at this. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory. Did you catch that? Eternal glory. We're living in the temporal realm. This too shall pass away. But where are you eternally? Are you washed from the blood of the Lamb? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise? That's all it takes, is a heart of repentance. And then God opens up the floodgates of blessings after blessings after blessing after blessings. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many are so blessed to know that God has a place for you in eternity? But look at this. May the God of all grace, who called us to an eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while. What? Is there suffering involved in this walk? Listen, for those of you that have that testimonial, you know, testimony, did you know that you were suffering, that you were dying miserably? And then God called you into his grace. And guess what? There's still going to be suffering. But now we have God with us. Can I get an amen? Now he's with us. Hallelujah. Now even when the gates of hell try to come and tear you down, whoo, God will raise up a standard. God will have to unleash sometimes angels and disperse them to your time of need. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, yes, he will. Yeah, yes, he will. Look at this. While after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish and strengthen us, and then he settles us. So some of you now are in that settling stage where now he's opened up doors of ministry so that you could walk in and serve him gladly. But there's a process. You can't just get there. He works in you and through you. You have to learn some things. You have to suffer some things. Oh, that's right. And to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Saints, ever since Jesus went to the cross, for us, he has made atonement.
Thank you,
Lord. It's an everlasting atonement for all who has believed in him. Aren't you so blessed that you have a high priest? How many are so thankful that we have a high priest?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it's always found in the word. Can I get amen? Let's go there right there. Hebrews 4:14. Look at this. Seeing that we have a great high priest. Say that with me. High priest who has passed through the heavens. Look at that. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. We need to always confess on who he is. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The unbeliever needs to know that Jesus is alive and well in your being. Can I get amen? You got to let the world know that God is greater than your situation that you're going through right now. I don't know how many people we've prayed for who have stage 4 this, stage 3 this, who have all kinds of ailments, and we prayed by God's grace and mercy, and then God delivers them. A dying world needs to know that Jesus is alive and well. Can I get amen? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's what I love about Jesus. He went through everything that you and I could ever experience, all that mankind can experience. But he went to the cross, was buried, and rose again. He had no sin. He who knew no sin became sin, that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. Aren't you so blessed to know that? He died for us. He was the sinless Savior. And this is why we need to boast about him. We got to let people know what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain what? Mercy, and find grace in the time of need. How many of you have called upon him? Now let me just say this. He may not be there when you call upon him, but he's always right on time. You know, we don't serve a genie God. Can I get an amen? No. Sometimes we have to go through some things, right? And then he'll answer. And when he answers, he does it good. Because it was him, not us. Praise God. Praise God. Number three, let's look at this. God revealed himself as patient. He's patient. Oh, come on. Some of us were knuckleheads of all knuckleheads. Can I get an amen? Let's break down this word, patient. Look at this. The Hebrew word for patient is savodnut. I think that's how you say that. Literally means to bear or to suffer. Did you know that God suffered for us? He suffered all the way to the cross and was patient for 2,000 years for all of us. Can I get amen? How many times have people used to come and share the gospel with you? I worked at Western Lumber down on Tidelines Avenue in National City. And at lunchtime, I used to drive and park a good four blocks away from the lumber yard. Why? Because that was a great time to get away, and it was a Cheech and Chong moment. Had all the windows rolled up. You couldn't see inside no more. And then a little knock on my side of the window. And I rolled down the window, and all the contact going out. There was a little Hispanic guy named Jose Tejeda. And he goes, Jesus loves you. Aww. He gave me a track, right? I was so lit up. I almost lit him up. I was really angry. I go, how dare you come right now? Man, this is my time. Don't come away with this. And I tore it up and I threw it out. I go, you do that again, I'm going to knock you out. And yet, God was so patient. No, a lightning bolt didn't come and strike me on the head. He didn't call one angel. He could have called a legion of angels to just whip me into shape. No. But when I got saved, I was not in the lumberyard no more. I came looking for him. And I came in that lumberyard with the Bible in my hand. I said, Jose, Jose. And I made a mad dash. And he was like, what are you doing? No, I said, come here, man. And I gave him an embrace. I go, it was you and many others that preached to me. Hallelujah. And we were crying and weeping together. Because he knew now that what he did that day was not in vain. Nothing will come back void. Hallelujah. When it's the cause of Christ. And that's the only thing that's going to last through eternity is what you do for him. We can have many accolades and accomplishments here on earth. We can have all many plaques and certificates and all that. But it's what you do for Christ that's going on into eternity. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so he's patient with us. King David knew it best. Look at this. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. Can I get an amen? The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works. Wow. Thank you, God. Someone needs to be comforted and encouraged this morning. Some of you are going through some tough times right now, but I'm here to let you know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Yes, and that the joy of the Lord will be our strength.
Yes.
You have to believe that. You see, The Jewish people during this time, when we were thinking of Moses and all them, they struggled. They struggled in the wilderness, testing God's patience. Can I get amen? Listen, God could have just done away with them. But you know why? I need you to catch this. The reason why God was long-suffering with them in Genesis and throughout all the other Old Testament saints is because he had you and I in mind. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It was through the lineage that the Messiah would come to die for the sins of the world. So if God had to show them how patient he was, so that when we here in real time, God demonstrates how patient he still is toward us. Do you know he's long-suffering? Long-suffering. Oh, come on. Long-suffering. That's right. And though there have been many scenarios played out in the Old Testament, individuals, they all tested God's creation. Praise God. Yet, remarkably, saints, his attributes remain the same. You know that God is steadfast. God changes not. God does not. He's not immovable. Can I get an amen? He remains steadfast in his love and his grace toward us. Did you know that he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent? In other words, he fills all space. He's all powerful, and he knows all things. Did you know whatever you're thinking right now at this moment, he knows the thoughts around the world at the same time. This is how mighty he is. Did you know that when you're lifting up a prayer, the one in Indonesia that lifted up a prayer, he knows that too at the same time? He hears our cry. He knows our thoughts. He knows the intents and purposes of our heart. That's why there's nothing we can do to fool him. Nothing. That's why come with a pure heart to him. Say, God, here I am. I lay before you, oh God. All of myself. Me, myself, and I. Sometimes for some is an unholy trinity, huh? Me, myself, and I. But God teaches us valuable lessons. Listen, I love what the book of Revelation says right up here. Let's go up here for a minute. Look at this. John the Revelator wrote this. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty. How many believe he's almighty? It should bring us to a place of comfort to realize that nothing that the enemy has in store for us, that God will come and rescue us and defend us. I hope you know that. He's the mighty God. He's gone before us. And when you're weary and frustrated and ready to give up and throw in the towel, the Lord offers his hand. And sometimes he takes us in his arms.
Hallelujah.
And he holds us dear. I'm never going to let you go. I'm never going to quit on you. Listen, we quit on ourselves left and right. Come on. How many things have we started and we walked away from? One of the toughest positions that humans can have, seriously, because I've seen this in about 34 years of being saved. The hardest position is ministering. I shared this with a friend. When we were out in the world, man, we used to drink and what, you know, and we used to knuckle down, and then the next morning, we would be friends still. But in ministry, you say something to offend someone, they're out the door. Oh. And we walk out with our sanctified self. I'm telling you, ministry is the toughest thing. So I came to a final conclusion. I said, God, as a pastor and as a minister of the gospel, give me Teflon faith. Remember that. God, give me Teflon faith. How many of you have a Teflon pan at home? You don't need grease. You don't need to spray anything on it. You can fry an egg and it'll slip right off, right? We have to have in ministry Teflon faith, because when the darts come flying your way, they have to just poof, slide off. Can I get an amen? So if we're asking God for Teflon faith, just imagine how patient God is. Because we need that. He doesn't need that. He's God all by himself. But yet, his position never changes toward us. This is why I love God. This is why I love everything about, I love all his attributes. I love all his stories. I love what he does in me. I love what I see with my own eyes what he's doing with you. Amen. And he's doing great and mighty things. Can I get amen? Amen. All we want to do up here from this pulpit is encourage you to keep growing in your faith. Keep reading your Bible. There's churches that don't open their Bible no more. We need to open up our Bible. Can I get amen? And read what God says about us. You'll find out he loves you. You heard me share that story when I was about 8 or 9 years old. We used to have a Bible on our coffee table that was big as a suitcase. It had coffee stains all over the place, right? One day, I opened it up, and I was reading it. And then I seen a hand come out of nowhere and slammed it shut. I looked up. It was my oldest sister. I go, what'd you do that for? Don't read anymore. God's mad at us. What? I never read it again. I didn't open up a Bible and read it till I got saved at the age of 30. And then guess what I found out as I started reading again? How much he loves me. What he did for me. That he went to the cross. That he shed his blood for me. And though I was such a huge giant failure in many people's eyes, he still chose to love me. He still chose to love you. Because he's a mighty God. He's a loving God. We should never forget, saints of God. Because God knows our beginning and our end. We should never forget what he has done for us. People need to know what God has done for you and with you and what he's doing right now, currently. In your life. Sister, did you ever at one moment thought, when your lovely daughter was formed, being formed and fashioned in your womb, that she would sing for the nations? That's God. That's God all by himself. All by himself. And there's nothing that we had a hand in doing. So, can I get an amen? Amen. And it was, I marvel at God, what he does with people. And it humbles my heart to know that, man, God, the love you have for us far exceeds anything we could ever comprehend, that we could ever imagine. Whatever we could do to ourselves. We can't do anything but the grace of God. And so let's look at number 4 here. God revealed himself as good. Say that with me. God is good. Tell your neighbor to the right, God is good. And don't forget the one on your left side. And don't forget the one behind you. And if there's no one behind you, speak to the wall. Tell the wall God is good. He is so good, huh? Look at this. The Hebrew word for good is tov. Tov. Literally means adjective, better or best, having admirable, pleasing, superior, or positive qualities, objective, better or best. He's so good. Words cannot describe how good he is. And we often point to the things or people and refer to them as good. However, everything in this universe is flawed. How many believe that? Everything in this universe is flawed. Yet God is still good. When sin invaded the lives of Adam and Eve, God was still good. God was still good. He still clothed them in their nakedness. He still allowed them to replenish the earth. He's still good. Despite of what the enemy did to them, and despite what the enemy has done to us, God is still good. You're an eyewitness to that, sister.
Absolutely.
God is good.
God is good.
Your precious son that came today. God is good.
Amen.
I want you to know, everyone in here loves you.
Yes.
Praying for you. And guess what? Yes. When that thing happened, we got on our knees and we prayed for you. You need to know that you're not a forgotten one. You need to know that God has a plan for you. Whatever the enemy has done for evil, God's going to turn it around and do good. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do next with you, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. As time wore on and God's human creation became more and more corrupt, the Lord wanted his people to know him as a good God. As a good God. To this day, we cannot assess the goodness of anything or anyone except by the standard of his goodness. And this is what he wrote in his word in Matthew. So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And guess what the commandments are? Listen, there was 614. So if you bust open a pomegranate, count all the seeds, that's how many. Every one of them was 614 seeds in each pomegranate. The high priest would put little pomegranates on their robe to remind them of the law. So remember that. When you bust one open, but guess what? None of us can keep one of them. Bible says if we break one, we've broken them all. So he encompasses everything in this one verse of scripture. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because by doing that, all the law is hinged on those two. Can I get an amen? All the law is hinged on that. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Guess what? That's fail-proof. So this is what God is looking for our life. Not to be perfect. Because we're not going to be perfect down here, right? But guess what? As you learn to love him, as you learn to adore him, as you learn to walk with him, guess what? Now those things that offend him, they start to fall off you. Because if you try to get rid of them yourself, you're going to go as a merry-go-round. They just keep resurfacing. Why? Because we still live in this body of flesh. He knows that. So he gave us the answer, love him. Fall in love with him. And guess what? Now, the love that you have in your heart doesn't want to sin against him. Because you don't want to break his heart. For those of you that are married, don't you love your spouse? Don't you tell your spouse, "I love you" in the morning? You love them in the afternoon. You love them in the evening before you go to bed. You love them. I love what Brother Melvin said yesterday. His wife went on to be with the Lord. He said, I used to tell my wife at least 15 times a day how much he loved her. And now that she's gone, he said, I wish I could have told her 16 times. We got to learn to have a heart like Christ. He's the lover of our soul. I hope you know that. He loves us unconditionally. So always remember this. I need you to catch this. Because when we were given the heart of repentance, he drew us lovingly to the cross. He gave us the opportunity to repent before him. And then he washed us in his blood. And then he filled us with his spirit. So guess what now? I need you to catch this. Because he has dealt with our sins at the cross, he has cast our sins as far as the east and the west is concerned. See, the devil wants to condemn you and accuse you and point fingers at you. He's waiting for you to slip up. But I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this. In our sinfulness, this body of flesh we live in, but our soul and spirit is washed in the blood. We're heaven bound, right? So now when God the Father looks down and he looks at each and every one of us, guess what he sees now? He sees the blood. That's why Jesus said in the book of 1 John that he's an advocate now. Jesus is our attorney, in fact. Hallelujah. So now Jesus steps in front and says, I got them because they're covered under the blood. Now listen, it doesn't give us a license to sin. It allows us to see his goodness, his grace, and his mercy on our life. And when you come to that place with him, we'll start sinning less. The one thing that we cannot prevent ever until we get the new body is the thought life. The thought life. So my old former pastor said, birds will fly around you and come close to laying a nest on your head. Just don't let them lay the nest on your head. What he meant is, our sinful mind is going to entertain those thoughts, right? But don't follow through on them. Start pulling them down, casting them down. Hallelujah. Pulling down strongholds. Can I get amen? Say, this ain't of God. This will offend my God. No, I'm not going to do this because I love my God. And so that's how you box with your own mind. Can I get amen? And you got to be about the word because the word will tell you exactly how to do it. Putting on the full armor of God. But he's good. God is good. He's always good. Look what Paul wrote right here to Romans. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. That's the key. This is what the church needs to hear. They need, if you want anything from God, your heart has to repent before him. It cannot be a greasy grace. What do I mean by I believe. And you still go home and curse out your spouse and kick the dog. Where's that repentant heart? Saying, my wife would stand up and tell you all he's lying if that wasn't the truth. Amen. You got to love like God. Until a person has tasted the goodness of God, he has no true comprehension of what the term goodness really means. He don't. Look what King David said. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed is a man who trusts in him. You got to be convinced that God is good. And tasting the goodness of God helps us to know and understand, saints of God, the Lord in a more intimate way. And that's why Paul wrote to the Roman church. Look at this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all what? Joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how good God is. He deposits in us heaven. So the Holy Spirit comes from heaven. This is why we need the second birth. We need the second birth. That's why Jesus told one of the rulers of the day, Nicodemus. Old Nicodemus crept out at night. Why? He didn't want his peers to know. I call him Nick at night. He came out creeping at night. Why? 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 Because he didn't want no one to know that I'm going to go talk to this guy that's doing all these miracles. And Jesus could have just had a cup of tea with him. But Jesus cut to the chase. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What? He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. You see, he goes on to say further that the wind blows where it wants to go, but you don't know where it comes from. So everyone that's born of the Holy Spirit, you don't know when and where he's coming. But when he comes, hallelujah, he seals you until the day of redemption. Man, I am so blessed to be called the child of God. I know you are. Come on, give God a shout of praise right now. Give him a shout of praise. We're going to break down our last one. Amen? Our last attribute here is this. God revealed himself as true. And the Hebrew word for truth is emeth. Not meth. Emeth. Let's get that right. It has many nuances of meaning. Establishment, faithfulness, sureness, right, verity, certainty, reality. See, our woke culture has their own truth. They say, you have your truth, I have my truth. Okay, you got your own truth. But let me take you to the source of truth. And the Bible tells me that the word of God is forever settled in heaven. So when you line it up to their truth, it starts to shatter. And you do it in a loving way, of course, right? You don't beat them on the head because we were once there. Oh, come on. We was knuckleheads too, huh? That's right. I like to go back to Exodus and let's look at this for a moment. Look at this. In Exodus 34, look at this. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and what?
Truth.
So God revealed himself as true early in the scriptures. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So all the knuckleheads during this time, God still had mercy. Why? Because God allowed Jesus to come through the lineage of Abraham. Because he had you and I in mind. Aren't you so blessed? God had you and I in mind. He still has a mighty plan for us. Don't think for one moment that God has just used you like a Kleenex and has thrown you away. No. That's not how he operates. Because John wrote it clearly. Look at this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Oh, Muhammad had nothing on this. Confucius had nothing on this. None of them. Guess what? You tell them graciously, yeah, you have all these people, all these little gods, but guess what? Their bones are still in their grave. Right? Jesus is the only one that has risen from the grave. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How important, saints of God, mankind to know and trust God as faithful and true. He's faithful and true. And just as God fed and led and protected, kept those walking in the wilderness, we can trust that God will do the same for us. Can I get amen? Hey, let me ask this question. Has God failed you yet?
No.
Never. Not once. Even in this inflated economy. Even what we're going through right now. Going to Costco, trying to buy 3 steaks and it's cost $90. Man, I went in there one day. I go, I used to love just picking that up and putting it in the cart. I had to put it down. I had to settle with chicken. But let me just say this. God will see us through. Can I get an amen? God will meet every need. Yeah. And Sister Yolanda cooked it up. Now that was good. So, you know, we can rest the facts and the promises and know that God's word is sure, yes and amen. Great and marvelous are your works. How many believe that great and marvelous are the works of God? And so, the word that my wife gave me, is this going in and out? I think it is, huh? Yeah. Okay. Is it okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that she spoke a word to me, as I mentioned earlier, that before we were even formed in our mother's womb, God already sanctified us. He saw us already sanctified. Jesus, help me with this. Is it going out? Is it still out? There, here we go. Yeah. Don't stay right here. Stay right there. I'll preach for you. Help us, God. Oh, better yet.
Testing.
Yes.
It's okay. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Praise God, amen?
Amen.
This word's just as fine. but look what John wrote right here, or in Revelation. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great, say that with me, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways. O King of what? Amen. Amen. Now, this is what John wrote. Look at this. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also sent, look at this, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has sanctified us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And those scriptures that my wife gave me at the breakfast table are right here. Look at this. In Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, that's how marvelous God is. That's how wonderful he is. Look what else he says right up here. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me,
and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all or some? All your heart. All believers, saints of God, should have a deep and abiding passion to know the truth. Why? Because the truth will set you free. Can I get amen? The truth will set you free. And as we come in for a close, I leave you with this scripture right up here. In 3 John 2 and 4. Beloved, say that with me. Beloved. Because you and I were all his beloveds. Can I get amen? So he's speaking to us. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in what? The truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you, God. And I'm praying for those right now that have logged in, that are watching right now. And please forgive me for the audio earlier. It's working now by God's grace, because God is good. But if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. We always hear at Amazing Grace, give those an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're watching, listening, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here with me to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. What you heard today was God is good and patient, gracious, merciful, and he's true. And he wants to prove that to you. He's given you now, right now, as I share this with you, he's given you a mind right now to be saved. He's given you a heart to repent. And now just take a step of faith and walk toward him. And if that's you, bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Oh, come on. He's worthy. Amen. Listen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.